Reformed Church.
What the Lord wants to do is he wants the sword of his word, and listen to why he calls it a sword, right? The sword of the Lord is gentle, but more than even gentle, it's very precise, right? Because the sword of God, which is the word of God, is based on truth, right? So when the Lord speaks something to you and you're going through something, and you know what? You have no need to think like this or feel like this or worry about this, because I have done something for you, and you can believe on what I have done. You can believe in the gospel. You could hear what you have heard about what I accomplished for you through the cross, and how I took your sickness and I took your disease and I took your pains, and you can rely on that, and you can receive that life to your body, right? And I have made you the righteousness of God, so that by that righteousness you can have access into the grace in which you stand, right? What that does is it divides. In other words, a sword does divide. He divides, right? Very, very precisely, right? This is according to Christ, this is not. That, in other words, that's even the discernment that we have by the Spirit of God, that you can discern the spirit of error, right? And the Spirit of God. How do you know a spirit that is speaking according to God, right? Like, how do you know that? Well, the Lord tells us, here's how you know. The spirit that speaks according to Christ is of God. The spirit that does not speak according to Christ, having come in the flesh, is not of God. So what God illuminates in my mind is not, look at all the bad stuff you've done. That's not how he works, right? He illuminates and reveals, right, his good news. Now, sometimes when you see that good news, you see over here, oh, I was thinking wrong. But you don't have to dwell on what you were thinking wrong, because that's not important, right? There is an answer to your mistake. Dwell on that, right? Not on your mistake. In other words, sometimes I remember saying this when the Lord was teaching me this stuff, and I'm saying, how am I supposed to feel then when I do something wrong? I couldn't make sense of that. If I just did something wrong, what do you tell me? I'm supposed to feel great? Well, yeah, in a way, yeah. Not great about what you've done. Great about what he's done. Right? Great about what he's done. Not great about the stupid thing you just did. Great about what he has done. Right? In other words, when you see that you sinned in some way, shape, or form, right? In other words, you just did something wrong. God, in no way, shape, or form ever will put a light on sin. He puts a light on Jesus. That's called what? Good news. The light on Jesus is good news, right? A light on Jesus. Light on your mistake is not good news. And even though you've heard that from preachers before, right, where they talk about your bad stuff, that's not what God is trying to do. That's not how God preaches. And that's not what the Holy Spirit enlightens your mind to. Light, what he reveals, is he puts a light on his Savior, a light on Jesus. That's why you'll hear over and over again, right? Over and over again, good news, gospel, good news, gospel, good news, gospel, good news, gospel, right? The Bible is filled with the good news and the gospel. Why? Because that is what God is putting a light on, the good news, the gospel. So whenever you have a thought, and you start feeling that nauseous feeling in your stomach when you just did something, and you're saying, oh, the Holy Spirit is trying to convict me. Nope, 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 nope. That's not him. That is your conscience. That is not the Holy Spirit. You feeling bad about what you did is you. You feeling happy about what he did, that's the Holy Spirit. If you want to take a pin and drop it right in the center of what God does in your mind, is he gives you the gospel, the good news, right? Contrary to how God speaks, right? The law that was given by angels highlighted my sin, right? Paul said that when the law came, I died, right? In other words, it puts a light on your sin, on your inability. Why would God ever do something like that? Put lights on my inability so that they could see I can't, you did. Oh, you're going to, in their case, right? Right? To say, I need a Savior. It was intended to bring them to Christ, but instead, they stayed with the law and wanted to fulfill it themselves. They wanted to show that by their works, they could keep it. There are still Christians today trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Today. The same people that needed a Savior to save them, and not by keeping the commandments, right? They just believed on Jesus and they were saved. Those same people have now reverted over, right? Galatians chapter 3. He says, did you receive salvation by the works of the law or by faith? He said, but today you're trying now to perfect yourselves? You started by faith. Today you're just trying to do it all on your own, right? He said, who has deceived you? Right? A foolish Galatian, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Well, crucified among you. What does that draw light to? To your works or to his work? His work, crucified before you. In other words, you saw him in your mind's eye. It's not that you were standing at the base of the cross that day. It's that you were saved because you saw the message of the cross. You were saved. Who has bewitched you to try to change that in your mind? You see how the gospel, the good news, to so many people doesn't sound like good news? Because you know why? It's so contrary to their thinking. It's putting your mind where it needs to be, right? Your mind on the gospel, meditate on this word day and night. Only then will you succeed, right? You will have great success. Keep your mind on the gospel. Put it as frontlets before your eyes. Keep it before your eyes, your mind, all the time, right? Let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened so that you can see the, right? He talks about the glorious light of the gospel, right? It illuminates your mind, but not to put a focus on your bad stuff. It enlightens your mind to be able to see Jesus, right? He's the one that God wants to eliminate the garbage and the fluff so you could see him. Just him. Just look at him. You're talking to a God that lives in you that you already know what he's going to tell you. You already know. It's already predetermined what God is going to tell you. He is going to talk to you about what Jesus has done for you. And you know why he wants to tell you that? Because it's good news. It is because it's good news, right? That's what he wants you to. He wants your mind and your heart on the good news, right? And on nothing else. Lord, do you want my eyes on my sin? Nope. Do you want my eyes on the mistakes that I've made? Nope. Do you want my eyes on my pain, on my sickness, on my disease, on what the doctor said, on what my mama said, on what this one said, my friends, the internet, the whatever, what the Mayo Clinic has to say about their surveys and their experience and the experiences of men and the stuff that I go through and the things that this one went. No, he wants your mind on the good news about what Jesus has already done for you. That's where he wants your mind. Lord, but I want to get married. This has been a long time. He wants your mind on what Jesus, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first what you are a part of and what I have given you and put on the inside of you, the kingdom and the inheritance that is in you, and I will add stuff to you so that you don't have to live like the world chasing after stuff, right, when you have everything on the inside of you. Oh, Lord, but I get it. We think that we can move God emotionally, right? If we cry or we tear when we pray, if we really fervently really let him hear us, surely God will be moved and do something. What are we missing? What he's done already. What he has done already. We're missing what he's done already, right? I know it doesn't feel comfortable when you want to hear somebody address your specific issue. Address and say, you know, I know what you're going through, you know, I've been there myself, and you know, there's been a lot of people who've been helped, and I love you, and listen, the Lord wants to tell you that he loves you, but he wants to remind you of his love I loved you so much that I saved you, right? I loved you so much that I sent my son to save you, right? So he says, look at chapter 4, verse number 1. Let us therefore fear, like this should be a thing in our mind, right, that we should be aware of. Let us fear lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Like let's not any of us fall short of entering into everything that Christ died to give us. Like, let's go in. Come on, let's go. Like, it's good news. I know it doesn't sound at first like it's very manageable, acceptable, right? It doesn't sound like an easy to swallow thing because it's so contrary. But I tell you what, once you start realizing what you're hearing, this is good news about what Jesus has done, Lord, then you're like, give me more. Come on, bring it, Lord. Give me more because I want to go in. I want into what you have given me. I don't want in this world anymore. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it anymore. I want to come into the things of the kingdom, right? I want to come into what you've done, right? You gave it to me, I want it, right? If you gave it to me, I want it. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them. But the word preached to them, what word? The gospel. What word was preached to them? The gospel, the good news about what Jesus would do for them, right? The Savior that they were waiting for, that word was given to the Jew first. He said it did not profit them. Good news, it can come to people and not profit them when it's what? When not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, you hear it and then you don't believe it, right? You want somebody to talk to you about something else. Just tell me, just give me empty words, please. Just tell me that it's going to be all right and then just rub my back. That feels better than somebody telling you that God fixed it already. But as silly as that sounds, it is more, it's easier to swallow to people, right? Because you know what it does? It's going to be okay doesn't make them need to change any of their thoughts. In other words, I can still continue depressed. I can still continue in my wrong thinking if you just keep rubbing my back and tell me that it's going to be okay. Nothing has to change up here. I can just keep thinking the way I'm thinking. The truth is, though, if your thinking stays the same, your results are going to stay the same too, right? If your thinking does not switch over to the gospel, you will not see anything different from God, because there is no other way to receive from God than through the same Savior that saved you in the first place, right? You can't receive from the inheritance that you have in you with the same stupid thinking that you had yesterday. You got to keep growing. That's why we're here, right? So that we can share with one another. I'm not trying to put you down, telling you you don't know anything. I'm telling it to you because you do know it, right? You were already saved. You've heard it before. You need to be reminded of it. And God forbid that you would ever stop reminding me about it, right? We need to be reminded about it, right? Because it's very easy to slide into the world and start thinking their dumb thoughts, right? We don't want to think dumb thoughts. We want to think truth, right? He never lies to you. If he tells you, I finished this, he meant it. I finished it. It's not just leave it. I just leave it in your hands, Lord. And you know, in your timing, you'll bring it to pass. And when it doesn't happen, you're like, oh, it must have been the will of God. That's where that comes from. That's where it's born, is that they have to excuse a God that they love that obviously didn't do anything for them. So they have to excuse him. But God doesn't need excuses, right? He already finished everything. He doesn't need our lame excuses. He just needs somebody to believe what he did so you can receive what he's given you. That's all. He doesn't need you to excuse him. God is not some kind of lame God that doesn't come through and then needs somebody else around him, right, to give excuses to God, right? Because he was late. You weren't there, right? You didn't come through, but maybe you were caught up. I get it. You got a whole world. No, it's not like that, right? What Jesus did is sufficient for the world. More than enough. More than enough for the world. More than enough for the world. Consider him in verse 3 that endured such contradiction of sinners, lest you be wearied and faint in your what? In your minds, right? God doesn't want you to grow weary here. It's not about weary here. It's weary here. Here. In other words, don't stop believing. Keep going. Keep running the same race. Don't stop. How do you deal with the problems of tomorrow? The same way you dealt with the problems of yesterday. Faith in Jesus. Keep going. Keep going. What's the answer? Faith in Jesus. Come on. Keep believing, right? And if you ask for prayer, we're dragging you along. Come on. It's about faith in Jesus. Let's go. We're not, there's nowhere else. There's no other thing to tell you. There's no other help we can give you. It's come on. It's with Jesus. Let's go. He's the answer. He provided it all. We're going to keep reminding you, keep telling you the same thing, because there is no other way, right? When you subject yourself to God, to allowing him to correct your mind, you begin to love it. You're like, Lord, you'll actually know. Like you're thinking something, Lord, I'm thinking stupid right now. Can you please just remind me, right? Because I'm thinking dumb stuff right now. Remind me of the good stuff, right? Like you want him to correct your mind, because now you've grown to love it. Now you don't want to think. So it's not about me getting somebody and I want to call you up and tell you all my woes. No, that's just me spewing unbelief to you, right? That's not what I want to do. I don't want to think like that. I want, the minute I get a thought, come on in and change it. Just tell me the truth because I'm thinking wrong, right? Then it's not about wanting to repeat and to say and to do. It's like, you know what? Grab somebody and say, come on, let's pray. Just when you don't know what to do and you don't feel strong enough to do it yourself, which is fine, right? No big deal. I have no problem coming to somebody and say, you know what? Come, I need somebody to pray with me. Let's pray right now. Don't even have to go into it. Just let's pray. And you know how I know I don't have to go into it? Because it doesn't matter what's going on with me. Remind me about what Jesus did about everything, right? Remind me about that. Tell me what he's done. Tell me what I have. Tell me who I am. Remind me, and joy will come right away, right? As soon as I get a revelation in my heart and get a clue, it comes. Joy comes right away. See, it says in verse 25 that you refuse not him that speaks. In other words, that let the world and people do what they're going to do. But let's not you harden your heart against good news. But let us be people that are trained by that good news, right? In other words, that we're exercised by it. Day and night, think about it, remind it. Listen, in the middle of a workday, when you're having a tough time, when the doctor says something, when people, there's so many voices around. Let us be people that know how to harden our hearts against the voices of men, but never harden our hearts against the voice of God. Let the word of God come in, and let him come in with the sword of the Spirit, right? And let him divide in your mind and show you, you know what? This is according to Christ, this is not.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com. Reformed Church.